So let's take a look again at the Ramban, just to try to make a little progress in the Ramban. And we saw that the Ramban says that technically I don't own chametz after Shas Isuro because it's Isurei Anoa, the Ein Bo Din Mamon. The Torah puts it back into my Rishus, and the example was a Bar Rishus Aravim. And therefore I violate Bal Yerov Ve'Motze based on this new ownership that the Torah created. But that's only if I want the chametz to exist. But if I declare that the chametz should be ke'afra di'ara, then it means that ein daito olav. That's the lashon of the Ramban. So Bal Yerov Ve'Motze means because daito olav who wrote it b'kiyumo. He wants the chametz to exist. However, once he declares bittul and his schema daito l'das haTorah, that's the lashon of the Ramban, he accepts the Torah's will that he should not have chametz, and he goes ahead and he's mevatel l'chametz. It's therefore lo yehei bo din mamon. It's not considered his. So there's this new bailus, this new concept of ownership, which doesn't fulfill, it doesn't meet the requirements of universal ownership, because it's Yisurei Anov Ve'en Bo Din Mamon. And with regard to this new concept, this new category of ownership, with regard to chametz, all you need is a declaration that Ein Daito Olav, that you want the chametz to be batel, and you don't want it to exist anymore. That's enough to be motzi es ha-chametz mitoras chametz, and it becomes like offer, and you don't violate Bal Yerov Ve'Motze. The Ramban adds a few words here that I wanted to point out. He says, "V'lomi boil rabbanan el afilu l'divrei Rabbi Yosi ha-Galili." So there's a machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yosi ha-Galili about hefker. And Rabbi Yossi HaGlili compares hefker to a matana, and just like a matana only leaves the ownership of the nosein when it enters into the ownership of the makabel, so too, in the case of hefker, hefker only takes something out of your rishus when it enters into the rishus of the zoche. Says the Ramban, how does bittul work? According to Rabbi Tam, who identifies bittul as hefker, we have a real problem here, because who's coming to take my chametz, as we discussed? But according to Rabban's interpretation of bittul, of ena rotsa b'kiyuma afilu l'divrei Rabbi Yosi HaGlili, kevan shenisyayish mimenu b'nei yisuro, once he gives up on this chametz, because the Torah prohibited the chametz, is yotza reshuso, mershuso, it has left his ownership, and that's what bittul accomplishes. The ein bo din gezel. Again, not because hefker operates here, because, you know, hefker could not possibly operate according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, because Rabbi Yossi holds it's ache nichnas l'shuzotcha, and nobody's picked up my chametz. But the answer is, I don't have to enter into the whole question of hefker and how and when hefker is valid and operates, because we're talking about something that's not really mine to begin with. So the Torah put it into my rishus, and the Torah wants me to give up on this chametz. Once I give up on this chametz, and I consider it as null and void, as if it's like the offer, the hour, then at that point, it's not mine, because it really wasn't mine to begin with. And that's something that even Rabbi Yossi HaGlili could accept. So, if you could just ask, either shut it off. If he doesn't, if he doesn't mute it, just shut it off.
Shut off the sound.
Okay, are you with me, Rabosai? So again, if we were operating, we didn't buy loose in the classical sense, in Choshen Mishpat terms, he owns it, then Hefker would only work according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili when somebody else picks it up. That's not going to help us with Bittul. No one's picking up my chametz. But if, on the other hand, it's not really mine to begin with, in Choshen Mishpat I don't have ownership because Yisurei Anoa Lav Mamon, then all I have to do is declare that I agree with the Das HaTorah, I don't want this chometz to exist, and therefore it's not mine. And if it's not mine, there's no bal yirah bal yimotzi. That's something that even Rabbi Yossi Aglili could accept. Now, in the next paragraph, which we're not going to cover today, but that's Efshar v'Nochon, he's going to try to see if he can reconcile his interpretation of Vito with Rashi about Hashpasa B'Lev. So let's put this away, and now we're up to the Gemara on Daf Hey Amid Aleph. So far, just to summarize, we had the following Yalfusas. We're trying to determine that when the Torah says get rid of your chametz, and even though the Torah uses the term Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu, the Yom HaRishon is not a reference to the first day of the Chag, but rather it's a reference to the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach. We had number one, Abaye. Abaye said that how can you reconcile Ach Bayom HaRishon with the fact that the Torah says that for 7 full days you won't have chametz in your rishus? Then we had Rabbi Yishmael said that the word Rishon means in this case the 14th, because I'll show you another pasuk where the word Rishon means the 14th. Then we had Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who said that Rishon means the day before. And finally we're up to Rava Amar. So let's just make sure everybody has the place. Where is Rava Omar? It's about from the bottom, about 10 lines up. Let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 13 lines up from the bottom on Daf Hey Amid Aleph. Rava Omar Mehacha. I have a different pasuk, and this pasuk is going to tell us when you're allowed to, or more precisely, when you're not allowed to shecht the Korban Pesach. The shechita of the Korban Pesach takes place on the 14th of Nisan, midday, and the Torah says, Lo tishchat al chometz dam zivchi, velo yolin la boker zevach chag haPesach. This is in Shmos Perek Lamed Daled. So let's emphasize the words, Lo tishchat al chometz dam zivchi. Lo tishchat chametz, lo tishchat haPesach, v'adayin chametz kayom. The Torah is enjoining us with a lav from shchitas haPesach at the moment that we have chametz in our rishus, meaning we cannot have chametz in our possession at the time of the shchita. If a person goes ahead and shechts the korban Pesach and he has chametz in his possession, he violates a lav of lo tishchat. Now, since the Zman of Shechitas HaPesach is Chatzos, is midday, then he's not allowed to keep Chametz in his possession beyond midday on the 14th, because if he keeps Chametz in his possession beyond midday on the 14th, then when he shechts the Korban Pesach, he's going to violate the Lav Lo Tishchat. So therefore it's logical to assume that at this point of Chatzos, when there's an Iser of Shechitas HaPesach, when he has chametz in his possession, at that moment, he's not allowed to have chametz in his possession. That's midday on the 14th. So Rava basically has circumvented all the other drushes. We don't need any of the other drushes, according to Rava. You want to derive the conclusion that on Erev Pesach at Chatzos, you have to get rid of your chametz. The answer is, it's written here in the Pasuk, Lo Tishchat HaPesach, V'adayin chometz kaim lo sishchad pesach al chometz al chometz al chometz.
So according to Rava, is it good enough to be mafkirit?
Rava doesn't enter into that question. He's just saying that you're not allowed to possess chometz. Now, where is your chometz? Is it here in your backyard? Is it you have a house in Japan? I don't care where your house is. If you own that chometz and you shecht the korban pesach, then you get Malkus for shechting the Korban Pesach. You're not allowed to have chometz at that moment in time. So the Gemara right away asks, V'yema kol chad v'chad ki shochid. Who says that Pesach, that the Isav Shehiyas chometz, of owning chometz, is chal with chatzos, with midday? Maybe it all depends on when you're going to shech the Korban. Now, it's true that the earliest time to shech the Korban is chatzos, But you don't have to shech the Korban Pesach at Chatzos. So let's say, for example, I shech the Korban Pesach at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Erev Pesach. So at that moment, I'm not allowed to have chametz in my possession. But how do you go ahead and make an absolute blanket statement that's applicable to every single Jew, that from Chatzos and on, you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession? So Rava answers, Man shchita omer achmona. When the Torah says, Lo sishchat ha-Pesach, Badayin chometz kayom, it doesn't mean that at the moment that you shechted the korban and you had chometz in your possession, you violated this iser of shehiyas chometz, of holding on to chometz. But it means that at the zman of shechita, not the maisa shechita of chad v'chad, you know, Reuven shechted at this time and Shimon at that time. But the Zman of Shechita, what the Torah is telling me is that from the Zman of Shechita and on, you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession. So it's not called Chad V'Chad Ki Shochet, it doesn't depend upon when you got around to do the Shechita, but rather it depends upon Zman Shechita. And when is the Zman Shechita? Chatzos midday. So Tosis is not happy with this sugya. He says the following. When is the Zman Shechita? Take a look at Tosis Dibra Maskelo Sishchat. The law is that the Pesach, the Korban Pesach, has to be shechted after the Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid, which is called Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, cannot be shechted before Chatzos Hayom. So by definition, you're going to have to first get involved in the Shechita of the Tamid, and only then. And the Shechita of the Tamid is going to take place at Chatzos, and only then are you going to shech the Korban Pesach. So it cannot be that the Zman Shechita is with Chatzos, because Chatzos is the time for the Korban Tamid. So let's read the Tosfos inside. Hiksha Rashba Heichi Yolif Mihach the Chametz Asum Yivam Shalosma. How can you derive from this pasuk that Chametz is prohibited from the end of the sixth hour, the beginning of the seventh hour, which means exactly 12 noon? When is the time for Shechitas HaPesach? It's got to be after the Tamid. V'tamid sheshachtu lefnei Chatzos posul. So the earliest time that you can shech the Tamid is Chatzos. And therefore the earliest time you can shech the Korban Pesach would have to be after Chatzos. It can't be at Chatzos. If kein zman shechita lo havi miyad Achar Chatzos, meaning it can't be immediately after the clock strikes 12, right? That's impossible. Ad kidei shehiyas HaKorban Tamid, we're going to have to add to Chatzos a piece of time, that frame of time, which within which you could bring Makriv the Tamid. Now, he doesn't tell you how long of a time period it is. Let's assume, just for argument's sake, it takes 15 minutes to be makriv the Tamid, and the earliest time is at 12. Therefore, ipso facto, the earliest time for the Shechitas HaPesach will be at 12:15. You have to add that extra 15-minute buffer zone for the Akrovas HaTamid, because the Korban Pesach has to be shechted after the Akrovas HaTamid. So how could the Gemara identify Chatzos, midday, as the time for Isur Chametz, based on the fact that that's the time of Shechitas HaPesach? That's not the time of Shechitas HaPesach. Shechitas HaPesach has to be postponed till after the Akrovas HaTamid. And the earliest time for the Tamid is when? Chatzos. V'yesh lomar, says Tosfos, kamen d'dieved, im shochet HaPesach kodem HaTamid, kosher k'disnan hosom. There's a Mishnah later on in Pesachim that says if he went ahead and he shechted the Korban Pesach before the Tamid was brought, then b'dieved, it's kosher. It's kosher zman shechita mechatzos v'yela. So in other words, in the Havamina, Tosfos thought that it's impossible to bring the Korban Pesach before the Tamid. And now Tosfos is saying, if all things are ideal, you cannot bring the Pesach and Shechta before the Havas HaTamid, but if b'dieved you switched around the order, and violating this din of Kedima, you instead shechted the Korban Pesach immediately at Chatzos, before the Hakrovas HaTamid, in such a case, you would be Yotze in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Now, what the Mefarshim point out here is that there's a pretty serious a chiddush here in Tosfos, a pretty heavyweight revolution, because if you would ask me, when is the Zman HaPesach? the Zman HaPesach is really after the Tomid. It's not a Chatzos. And Tosfos says, Choshev Zman HaPesach mi Chatzos v'yelech. And Tosfos says, it all depends on b'dieved. You know, if somebody went ahead and he violated, but that's not really the Zman HaPesach. So this is a bit of a chiddush, this Tosfos said, you know, you could define the Zman HaPesach by b'dieved, you know, since... Yeah, you would say the Zman. In other words, I think what Tosfos is vacillating about is the following. We have a din that the Havas HaTomid has to come before the Pesach. Is that a din in Zman HaPesach, meaning that the Zman HaPesach only emerges after you are makriv the Tomid, or no? That's a separate din in Hilchas Kedima. You know, you have two Karbonos and you have to know which comes first. So we have the Tomid. At Chatzos, we had the Pesach that has to be shechted at Chatzos. So what do? You can't do both at the same time. So we have a din of Kedima. Let's call it Tadir, V'sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodim, right? That the Karman Tavid is your classical case of Tadir. It's something that you bring on a daily basis, twice a day. And Pesach is once a year. So we have to bring, first we have to finish up on what's Tadir, you know, the general... mitzvah of Tamid, which applies to all year end, and then only then the special mitzvah, which is Eino Tadir of Pesach. But that's already halacha in how to organize the different hakrovos. But it's not a din in the zman. Both the Karban Tamid and the Shechitas HaPesach have the identical zman of Chatzos. Lamaisa, in terms of implementation, we have rules of Kedima. It would be an insult to Karban Tamid if we shechted the Pesach before the Karban Tamid. But nevertheless, as far as the Zman HaPesach is concerned, the Zman HaPesach says Tosfos is with Chatzos. And if the Torah says you're not allowed to have chametz in your Rishus at the time of the Shechitas HaPesach, it means that from Chatzos and on, you're not allowed to be in possession of chametz. But Tosfos is now bothered by a different question. This is the Dibra Maskil's mind. Afal gav to be emes, the emes who, de lo tishtar ala chomets, kol chad v'chad ki shochet. The Gemara is going to establish in Psochim daf samach gimel that if you shecht the Karban Pesach and you have chometz in your Rishus, you violate a lav, and it all depends on the moment that you shechted it. So Reuven shechted it at 12, Shimon shechted his Karban Pesach at 1, and Levi at 2, etc., etc. It's called chad v'chad ki shochet. In other words, you're not going to get malchus for owning chometz at 12 unless you shechted the Karban Pesach at 12. And you're not going to be chayiv malchus for violating this lav if you have chometz at 1, unless you shechted the Karban Pesach at 1. But if you shechted the Karban Pesach at 2, and before that moment of shechita, during the 2-hour period between midday, between chatzos and 2 o'clock, you got rid of all your chometz, then you would not violate the Iso Lav of Lotishkar al chometz. Now, how can the Gemara say that Lotishkar al chometz is standard and absolute, when in truth it's relative? It's relative to when you, Reuven, Shimon, or Levi, went ahead and shechted your Karban Pesach. So Reuven is going to be chayv for chametz at his time of shechita, and Shimon at his time of shechita, and Levi at his time of shechita. But there's no standard violation of this lav as far as owning chametz is concerned. So the ownership of chametz is real as a lav is relative to the moment of shechita. So I don't care whether you had chametz in your rishus before you shechted it. I care if you have chametz in your rishus when you shechted it at that moment. So how could the Gemara possibly derive, how could Rava derive from this drasha that chametz has to be gotten rid of by chatzos? That's not true. If you're basing yourself on the pasuk lo sishchat, the lo sishchat and that violation depends upon when you actually shechted the karban. And that's relative to each subject, and no one has a standard time of shechita.
Is it
a What do you say, Xera? No, now we're dealing with Doraisis here. Please don't confuse yourself by introducing Xeras over here. We're trying to derive an Issa Doraisa, possibly even a Chiv Malkus, because again, Rashi says that the Issa Doraisa is Bal Yerah Bal Yimotzeh, and the Rambam says that if you go ahead and you buy Chavitz, you get Malkus for Bal Yerah Bal Yimotzeh, or you Machavitz and Issa. Okay, I don't want to get into that old discussion, but we're talking about real serious doraisas here. We're trying to establish that from Chatzos, midday on Erev Pesach, on the 14th, you violate the Isurim of owning chametz. And how do we know this? Because it says you can't shech the Karban Pesach and you have chametz in your rishus. Yeah, but I'm not shechting the Korban Pesach yet. Wait till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when I'm going to shech the Korban Pesach. So now you tell me at 12 noon I have to get rid of my chametz? Who said such a thing? Says Tosus mi kol makom, and that's the beginning of his answer. Kevan di ashkecha and de hizir al hashbasa. Aha. In other words, we're not taking this pasuk of lo sishchat in a vacuum, but rather we're taking this pasuk in context of tashbisu. So the Torah tells us tashbisu siar mivatecha, and it commands us to get rid of chametz. Now we have to figure out at what time on the clock am I enjoined from owning chametz? When do I have to get rid of my chametz? At what time on the clock? Oh, so we don't know, right? Because it says in a very vague way, Ach b'yom ha'rishon tashbisu. But v'hizir shalo lishchot ha'pesach al chametz. And then the Torah says, you're not allowed to shecht the Korban Pesach when you have chametz in your possession. Svarahu, where we put the two psukim together, and one clarifies or sheds a light on the other, that v'zman hashchita hizir al hashbasa. When did the Torah tell you not allowed to have chametz in your possession? That's called hashbasa. At the zman of shchita. Now, it's from the moment that you would violate the isur of shchita if you had chametz in your possession. And the earliest time for that would be chatzos. And that's true for anyone. Anyone who would go ahead and shecht his Korban Pesach at chatzos and he has chametz in his would violate this law. So from that point and on, the Torah means to tell you tashbisu, get rid of your chametz. So again, you know, the Chiddush in Tosfos is that Rava is not operating in a vacuum. He's operating with two different psukim, and he's trying to relate one to the other, such that one sheds a light on the other. We have tashbisu. The Torah says, you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession. Get rid of your chametz. We don't know at what time. Then the Torah tells me, you're not allowed to shecht the Korban Pesach when you have chametz in your possession. And if you do so, you get malchus for violating the law of lo tishchat al chametz nam zivchi. So let's analyze the pasuk of Tashbisu and try to come up with some answer to the question from what time are you obligated in Tashbisu from the perspective of Lo Tishchat. At what point does the Torah clearly tell you that if you went ahead and you shechted the Korban Pesach, you would violate a law because you're owning chametz at Chatzos? That's the time period of Shechita. And at that moment in time, if you were to shecht the Korban Pesach and you have chametz in your possession, you have violated the law of Lo Tishchat. It means the Torah doesn't want you to have chametz in your possession. We don't know when the Torah says Tashbisu, at what point does the Torah say we have zero tolerance for your possession over chametz? But since the Torah says that you can violate the law of Shechita at the moment of Chatzos, it means that if you possess chametz and chatzos and you shechted the Korban Pesach at that moment, you would violate a law of lo sishchat. The Torah is already indicating that from chatzos and on, we don't want chametz in your possession. Okay. Oof. Horrible. Okay. What do you say? What I need is hot water. I didn't want to go into the kitchen before, because sometimes you go into the kitchen and you end up, you know, you don't get out of it, if you know what I mean. You're there forever and ever.
I'll spill it out.
Yes, there's some filth in here, so you have to spill this out if you're going to fill it up with hot water, or alternatively, take another cup. I don't know if this is working. What do you think? Looks like it's off. Okay. So let's just review. How many different derivations, possible derivations, do we have? We started with Abaye. Right, Abaye says, how could it be that the Torah means that you get rid of your chametz on the first day of Yontif, when the Torah says you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession for 7 days? And then we went on to Rabbi Shmuel, and he had a derivation that the word Rishon means the 14th of Nisan. Then we had Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak that said Rishon means the day before, so it means the day before Yontif. And then we had the drasha of Rav, that Rav says Lo Sishchat al chametz dam zivchi.
mute it. Let's mute it.
Tanya Nami Hochi. Now, this brisa that we're about to learn, which quotes three different opinions, will support both Rava and Abaye. The support for Rava, thank you very much, is going to come very early in this discussion, in this brisa. The support for Abaye will come at the very end. So let's read the brisa and we'll see how we're going to support both Rava and Abaye in this brisa. Ach bayom rishon tashbisu siar mibatechem. May erev yontif. This mitzvah of getting rid of your chametz applies on the 14th on erev yontif. O eno el biyontif atzmo. And what if you'll argue that this pasuk is referring to yontif itself? Talmud lomar lo sishchar al chametz dam zivchi lo sishchar es hapesach v'adayin chametz kayam divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So who is that? I mean, obviously it's Rabbi Shmuel, but who did we see before? Rav. So this is clearly a proof for Rav. And then we get to Rabbi Akiva, and finally the Gemara is going to get to a third opinion of Rabbi Yossi, this brisa, and that's going to support Abaye. But before we get to Rabbi Yossi, that's the third opinion, let's see Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer Eino Tzarech. I don't need your pasuk lo sishchat al pesach in order to derive that tashbisu applies on erev pesach, because hareu omer, the Torah says ach biyom arishon tashbisu siyar mivateichem uksiv kol melacha lo sase. The Torah says get rid of your chametz on the first day, and yet the Torah says that you're not allowed to do melacha on yontif. Umatzinu lavara shehi av malacha. Burning is one of the av malachos. So it cannot possibly be that the Torah is telling you to burn your chametz on yontif, because that would be a violation of kol malacha lo sase. What premise is Rabbi Akiva operating with? No, I mean besides that, but what premise about the essay of tashbisu is he presuming?
That it has to be by
Eish. Eish, Sreifa, right? Havaras Eish. Because if you remember, Rashi said that Tashbisu is Hashpasa B'Lev. But apparently Rabbi Akiva is not operating with the equation between Tashbisu and Hashpasa B'Lev. He's assuming Tashbisu means Tevaru, which means to burn the chametz. Now, how can you possibly burn the chametz on Yontif when burning is one of the 39 malachas and the Torah prohibits malach on Yontif? So it must be, therefore, perforce, that we're talking about Erev Yontif. So you don't have to rack your brain, says Rabbi Akiva, to try to find the source for deriving that Tashbisu is referring, Bayom HaRishon is referring to Erev Pesach. It has to be referring to Erev Pesach. Leave all your drushes outside the door. I don't need any of them. Because Tashbisu means burning the chametz, and it's not possible to burn the chametz on Yontif. It must be that Bayom HaRishon, ipso facto, has to be referring to Erev Yontif. And then we have Rabbi Yossi, and this is going to be a basis for Abaye that we saw earlier. Eino tzarech, I don't need Rabbi Akiva's proof. Shareu omer ach biyom arishon tashbisu v'yatechem. And if you'll say, then certainly it means the Erev Yontif. Oh, and if you'll say, Eino el biyontif, tamal omer ach chilek. If you remember that Abaye earlier on this page had already introduced this concept about 10 lines down from the top of the Omud of Ach Chilek, that Ach means to split the day into two halves. Okay, fine, Ach means split the day, but which day are you talking about? Is it Yontif, the first day Yontif, or is it Erev Yontif? Ibi Yom Tov Atzmo, if you're talking about getting rid of your chametz midday on Yontif, on the 15th of Nisan, Mishari, how can you hold on to your chametz for the first half of the day? We had that three-part hekesh that, number one, we equate the tashbisu with achilas chametz, the Yisrael achilas chametz written in the same pasuk, And then achilas chametz to achilas matzah, and we know that matzah is at night, so it means that hashbos has to be at night, meaning that by the nighttime of Tesvav you have to get rid of all your chametz. And therefore, if we say achilek, it cannot possibly be on the day of Yom Tov itself, because by virtue of the equation between hashbasa and chametz and matzah, we know that already at the beginning of the seventh day, the beginning of the 7 day period, the night going into the 7 day period, you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession. And therefore, it must be achilek can only apply to erev Yom Tov. So this brisa supports both Rav and Abaye, and wedged in the middle we have Rabbi Akiva. Now, Tosfos asks the following question. This is the last Tosfos on Daf Hey Amud Aleph. You know what? Let's wait another few minutes and read the Gemara of Rava, and then this Tosfos will be more appropriate. Omar Rava, here we're turning to Daf Hey Amud Beis. Shmami Nami Rabbi Akiva Tlas. There are three halachic principles that we have to derive from Rabbi Akiva. Shmami No, number one, Ein Bir Chametz El Esreifa. It means that when the Torah says Tashbisu, we have to identify Tashbisu as burning. And that's why there's a conflict here between burning chametz on Pesach, if Yom HaRishon is to be taken literally, and the Iso Lava Lo Tasekol Malacha, because Tashbisu means Sreifa. And that's one of the 39 malachas. So it cannot be that we're going to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Tashbisu, i.e. Sreifa on Yontif itself, because that would be a violation of Meleches Yontif. Now all this is a chidush. Why? Because the Mishnah later on at the beginning of the second parak records the machlok stream Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. It's only Rabbi Yehuda, who's the dissenting view, the minority opinion, who says Ein bi your chametz el sreifa. The Chachamim say that you can get rid of your chametz in any way, any shape or fashion. If you want to throw it into the Dead Sea, throw it into the Dead Sea. Maybe that's not such a good idea because it'll float to the surface. Okay. Or you could feed it to your dog, you could flush it down the toilet. I mean, you can do a lot of different things with chametz to destroy it. You don't have to burn it. And if you don't have to burn it, then you can get rid of it on Yontif, and the whole proof of Rabbi Akiva falls by the wayside. It must be, says Rava, that Rabbi Akiva assumed that when the Torah says Tashbisu, it means what? Sreifa. Burning, it means Sreifa. Number two, Shmamina. Havara lechalik yotzas. Now this is a very profound sugya. Let's skip this for a moment. I'll come right back to it. Let's just fast forward to the third derivation from Rava. Of Rava from Rabbi Akiva. Ushmami lo aminin hoil, etc. What does hoil mean? The Hoil is one of the most important principles in Yontif, and basically we accept the Shita of Beis Hillel against Beit Shammai, and we accept the principle of Hoil on Yontif has tremendous repercussions. Hoil means that since the Torah allowed you to prepare food, then the Torah allowed that malacha to be done even if you're not preparing food. So if it takes, for example, our case of Sreifa, burning. When you put a pot on the cooktop, on the grates, and then you turn on the fire on Yom Tov, that's mutter because that's ochel nefesh, correct? So the Torah has already told us that you're allowed to burn on Yom Tov. Now if you're allowed to burn on Yom Tov, then we apply the principle of Hoel. Hoel says the following, that since you're allowed to burn on Yom Tov for the purpose of food, you're allowed to burn on Yom Tov even if it's not for food. So I'm not going to advocate smoking on Yom Tov, and I don't advocate smoking the whole year round. But if you were a smoker, Nebuch, you'd be allowed perhaps to smoke on Yom Tov based on Hoil. I wouldn't say that smoking is Ochel Nefesh, but on the other hand, based on the principle of Hoil. Now, there's another word for Hoil in the Gemara, in the Sefer Beis on Daf Yud Beis, and that's called Mitoch. I'll write that on the board, because more often than not, you'll see this word. But they're identical words. Okay? So again, in our Gemara, the Gemara uses the word hoil, but elsewhere in Shas, it uses the word mitoch. Mitoch means since. Right? Since the Torah allowed you to do this malacha for the sake of food on Yontif, then you're allowed to do it even when it's not for food. So on both sides, technically, on a Doraisa level, again, you know, there are all sorts of rabbinic zeros, as you said before, Jerry, but technically, would I be allowed to heat up water for a bath on Yontif?
Technically.
According to the Doraisa law, I would if you hold of mitoch or hoil. Why? Because turning on a fire for food would be mutter, so turning on fire for a bath to get hot water for a bath would also be mutter. That's called mitoch. So let's say, for example, if I had to carry food from one rishus to another on Yontif for the sake of ochel nefesh, that would be mutter. So if we apply the principle of mitoch, it means I'm allowed to carry my handkerchief on Yontif. Why? Because mitoch says that you can expand the rule of malachos to permit, again, we're only talking about those malachos that are ochel nefesh. So let's say we have a list of five malachos, I don't know, I'm just throwing out a number, five malachos that qualify as ochel nefesh, then I'd be allowed to do those malachos even shalom litzorch ochel nefesh. And that's based on the principle of mitoch. One of the malachos that's definitely ochel nefesh is shechita. Let's say slaughtering an animal, which on Shabbos would be a severe violation of one of the Labatest malachas. On Yotam would be mutter because it's litzorch ochel nefesh. Another malacha that would probably qualify as ochel nefesh is cooking, right? Bishul. Or afia, or baking. So let's say I would cook something that's not edible. Like, for example, the Gemara says that when they used to make, in the process of producing, manufacturing metal utensils, they used to heat it up in order to strengthen the metal. So that's not ochel nefesh, but again, I'm going to apply the principle of mitoch, that since I'm allowed to cook something, heat something up for food purposes, then mitoch says I'm allowed to do that same malach even if it's not for food purposes. So if that be the case, when we talk about burning chametz on Pesach, then under the rule of mitoch, you'd be allowed to burn chametz on Pesach, even though it's not edible, even though it's not ochel nefesh in the strict sense, but mitoch broadens the scope of this malach and says if this malach is a maleches ochel nefesh, if I can define it as a malach that's done for the purpose of preparing food, like the case of turning on a fire, then I can do that malach even when it's not for ochel nefesh. So to destroy chametz on Pesach through sreifa would be mutter. Apparently, Rabbi Akiva, who says that it can't be that Bayom Rishon means literally on Yontif, because you can't destroy chametz on Yontif by burning it, because burning is one of the malachos. Apparently Rabbi Akiva never accepted the principle of Hoyo. In that sense, he belongs to the camp of Beit Shammai, which is very interesting. But this is not the first time in Beit Shammai that Rabbi Akiva agrees with Beit Shammai. You know, back in the day, it wasn't always so clear that we accept Beis Hillel against Beit Shammai. And at that point in history, Rabbi Akiva actually accepted Beit Shammai, that we don't accept mitoch. The Torah says you're allowed to do a malacha only, exclusively for ochel nefesh. And burning chametz is not ochel nefesh. You know, it's not going to make you any, it's not going to add any calories to your body.
Can you explain to me why? So why doesn't Rabbi Hu use it? Asay dochel osasay. Why can't you just say the pasuk says you have an asay to burn the chametz and the losasay? Why doesn't it apply? Why could apply asay dochel osasay in this case?
Well, let me try a few possible answers to your question. It's an excellent question, Asher. Why not apply the principle of asay dochel osasay? So one answer to your question would be the following, that esse docha losase doesn't apply when the losase also brings an esse to it. That's called ein esse docha losase ve esse. So if you put on a scale on the one hand an esse, on the other side of the scale a losase, then the esse overrides the losase. But if you tip the scale by adding the esse to the losase, so one esse sort of cancels out the other esse and you're left with the losase. And Yontif is both an essay and a losase. The Torah says losasu kol malacha, and the Torah says tishbos. There's a mitzvah of shvisa on Yontif. So whenever we talk about being doche Yontif, we suspend the principle of essay doche losase, because Yontif is not only a losase, but it's also an essay. Another answer to your question, which would be more profound, would be to say the following, that the truth is, you're not yotzei the mitzvah of tashbisu at the moment in which you turn on the fire. It's only when the chametz subsequently will be turned into ashes, at that point you mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu. So for example, let's say I scorch a piece of chametz, that's a sugya later on, called charcho, at the beginning of the second perek, right? That's why, by the way, when people go out to burn their chametz, I don't know if you've ever seen this, the chametz looks like it's going up in smoke, right? It looks like charcoal. But the truth is, if you take out that piece and cut it open, you would still see that some of it might be still edible. So the rule of esei dochalosa only applies in what's called be'inna. Be'inna means simultaneously with the kiyum of the esei, you violate the losase. That's impossible in the case of tashbisu, because you're going to violate the losase of losase kol malach b'shabbos the very moment you turn on the fire. It's going to take a little bit of a time period until you finally be mekayim the mitzvah hashbasa and the chametz goes up in smoke, you know, totally. The third answer to your question might be that when the Torah is giving you a mitzvah, it doesn't usually give you a mitzvah that's based on esei dochalosase. Meaning, esei dochalosase applies when accidentally, or shall I say coincidentally, a mitzvah sase confronts a mitzvah losase. Meaning, normally the esei can be fulfilled without violating the losase. In this particular circumstance, this scenario, we have a conflict between an esei and a losase. But to say that the very essence of the esei from the get-go is to violate a lav, That's not acceptable. The last answer that I gave you is probably the right answer, but the reason it's not the right answer, meaning l'chora, is from the case of kilayim b'tzitzis. The Gemara says in Masech de Menachos that if you have a beged shel pishtan, now keep in mind, tzitzis by definition has to be wool. That's a given. You know, there's no other substance on the face of the earth, no other material that could qualify for tzitzis. So tzitzis by definition is wool. Now you have a beggar that's four knofos and it's made of pishtan. By definition, once you put the tzitzis onto the beggar, you tie it down, you violate the iser kalayim. Why? Because pishtan and semer cannot be combined together. So the Gemara says to Menachos, that's the way the mitzvah was given. It was given from the get-go in a way that would override the iser shatnis. So here you see that my answer is not correct, my third answer. That esei dochalosa only applies in a coincidental overlap or confrontation between the esei and the losa. So no, you could have a mitzvah that from the get-go is organized in a way that you violate the losa. The Gemara gives the same example in Yevamos of what's called big day kahuna. Of course, in the Avna, in certain of the Begadim, there was pishtan and semer together. So there was, by definition, a violation of shatnez to such an extent that the Ravid says that at the moment that the Kohen finishes avoda, he's got stripping. Yeah. I mean, the Rambam is not like that, but that's the Ravid sheet. But you see that there's such a thing called mitzvah sovakach, meaning that the mitzvah was given from the get-go in such a way that by definition it overrides a losasa. So I don't know if that answer will, even though I think it's the right answer, but I don't know how to work it out with all the other sugyas and shas. But now we get to the middle, what I call number two, of the three Shmaminos. And this one is the most challenging of them all. And this is called Havara L'Chalik Yotzis versus Havara L'Lav Yotzis. Okay, there are two shitas in how to understand Havara in Masech de Shabbos Daf Ayin. So let me just write down the two shitas just in abstract terms. Okay, so just keep in mind that this is a sugya. I'm just giving you the tip of the iceberg of a very complicated sugya in Shabbos Daf Ayin. Okay, Shabbos Daf Ayin. Okay, one opinion says Havara L'Lav Yotzis, and the other opinion says Havara L'Chalik Yotzis. Now, what does this mean? Both opinions are coming to answer the same question. The Torah says, Lo tasu kol malocha. And then the Torah says, Lo sevaru eish b'chol moshvosecha. Why did the Torah have to specify, Lo sevaru eish b'chol moshvosecha, if it already said, Lo tasu kol malocha? Well, again, you know, saying that Ochel Nefesh is mutter, but why does the Torah have to say, don't light a fire? anywhere in your domain. I know that you're not allowed to light a fire because it's a malacha, and if it's a malacha, it's one of the 39. I can't do it on Shabbos. So now we're talking about Shabbos, right? Well, so the two answers to this question, and they are fundamentally at loggerheads. One answer is called lelav yotzes, that the Torah is actually downgrading the status of havara. There are 38 malachas, and the 39th, which is called havara, goes down one madrega. And I give you a mashal. What happens if you were sitting in business class, and for some reason they double checked, your credentials, and they found that you don't deserve a business class seat. So they want to take you out of business class and put you down in the cabin. What's that called? To downgrade? Is there such a word?
Yeah.
Okay, so we use that word downgrade. So if you hold lelav yotzes, yotzes means who was taken out, right? So you had a bag of 39 malachas, all of which are prohibited. The Torah says, lotas kol malacha. And then the Torah went out of its way to tell you that you're not allowed to burn a fire. And the Man D'Or who says lelav yotzes, he's downgrading the status of havara. Because a lav, in the worst case scenario, if you violate a lav, what's the punishment for violating a lav? You get a malchus. In the case of malach on Shabbos, the Torah says sokol yisokel, yischayv skila. It's a capital crime if you violate Shabbos. But in the case of havara, which is one of the 39 malachas, if you hold the lav yotzes, then the worst case scenario, the worst punishment you'll ever get, is malchus, because it's only a lav. Now, are there lavim on Shabbos? The answer is yes. What are the lavim on Shabbos that do not generate misa, they're not capital crimes? So one of them is called mechamer. Again, you don't have to write this down. This is way beyond the purview of our discussion. Mechamer means if I have a beast of burden and there's a burden on his back and I lead the animal, that's called mechamer. That's a lav on Shabbos. It's not one of the 39 malachas, but you'd get malchus for such a thing. Or, for example, tchumen. That's a machlokus in the Gemara, but according to one opinion, tchumen is a lav. So if I walk out of the city limits 2,000 amma, I violated a lav. That's not a malach. And now we're saying, according to this man, Yom called lav yotzes, that havara is only a lav. Now, what's the nafkamina if I downgrade havara to the level of a lav? So the first nafkamina, as I mentioned, is that you only get malchus if you burn something on Shabbos, according to this man, Yom. So in other words, I'm watching you on Shabbos, you're about to light a fire. So I give you a hasra, and I warn you, don't light the fire. According to this man, the Omar, yes. I say to you, don't light this fire because if you do, you'll get malchus. If I would say to you, don't light this fire because you'll be put to death, you'll be stoned, that's not a valid hasra. Because havara lelav yotzes was taken out of the bag of the 39 malachas, all of which are chiyuv skila, capital, and it was downgraded to the level of a lav, like any standard lav, only to mechayev malchus. But Rabbo said there's another major nafkamina. And that is Yontif. Herein lies the difference between Shabbos and Yontif. In Shabbos, there are two categories of prohibitions. Number one, there are malachas. And number two, there are isurim, lavim, which are not malachas. But in Yontif, there's only malachas. There are no lavim on Yontif. So if I downgrade Havara and I take it out of the bag of malachas, and I give it the status of a lav, then by definition, I'm taking it out of the purview of Yontif. There's no Iser Havara on Yontif whatsoever. And that's going to undermine everything that we learned here in Rabbi Akiva. There's no way that you can reconcile Rabbi Akiva with the Man D'Omer who says lav yotzes. Correct? Because if he says lav yotzes, then it doesn't apply to Yontif. The whole premise that otherwise Rabbi Akiva's approach, that Ach Bayom Arishon Tashbisu could not possibly be referring to Yontif, is because you're burning chametz on Yontif. The Torah doesn't allow you to burn chametz on Yontif. Well, that's not true, because if you hold lelav yotzes, that's the first opinion, then it's not also on Yontif. And if it's not also on Yontif, what is Rabbi Akiva talking about? Rabbi Akiva's premise is that you're not allowed to burn chametz on Yontif because chametz is one, because Havar is one of the 39 malachs. That's not true. Because lelav yotzes means it doesn't have the status of a malacha, and it was never prohibited on Yontif. So this leads us to a second opinion, which is called Havara L'chalik Yotzis. And basically, L'chalik Yotzis means that Havara has the same identical status as any one of the 39 Malachs, the other 38. And if you violate it, you incur a Chiyuv Misa and a Chiyuv Skila, it's a capital punishment. And therefore it's also not only on Shabbos, but it's also even on Yom. So why then did the Torah take Havara out of the bag that includes all, the generic bag that includes all the Malachas? That's called L'chalik. Okay, what does L'chalik mean? So to understand what L'chalik means, we have to know a couple of basic rules about what's called Hilchos Shgagos. The Rambam has a whole section in his Mishnah Torah called Hilchos Shgagos. Okay? Now, the premise, the underlying foundation rule in Shgagos is that if you violate X, and I'll tell you what X means in just a second, then you have to bring what's called a Karban Chatos. If you were a shogeg, shogeg means that it was inadvertent, it wasn't deliberate. You accidentally violated X. Now, what is X? Abby, can you help me? Exactly. Chayve Karis. Right? We can divide up all the prohibitions of the Torah into two basic categories. One is Chayve Lavim, for which you get Malkus if you violate it pervasive. And then there's something that's higher and more intense that's called Chayve Krisus. Chayve Krisus means there are 36 of them at the beginning of a set of Krisus. Those 36 lavim, the Torah formulated them and categorized them as very severe lavim, and the violation of which incurs a chiyuv kares, whatever that means. Let's say you'll die before the age of 60. That's one opinion. There are many, many opinions about what kares is. And if you did it b'shogeg, you have to bring a karban chatos. So if I violated shatnez, for example, I didn't know that I was putting on a garment that has both linen and wool in it, would I have to bring a karban chatos?
No.
Because that's a lot. But if, let's say, I ate chelev, the Torah says, kol ochel chelev v'nichrus ha-nefesh, I did it b'shogeg, I have to bring a chatos. Oh, what's l'chalik? L'chalik means the following. If I repeated the same Avera multiple times, the same identical Avera, then I only bring one Chatos. So the man ate Chelev, and then he ate a second Kezayis of Chelev, and he ate a third Kezayis. He's been eating Chelev for the last 10 years. And he ate Chelev multiple times. All b'shogeg. He didn't realize that he was eating Chelev. He brings one Karma Chatos. Why? Because there's no Chiluk. There's no Mechalik. What's a machalik? Now, one of the chiyuv karis is dam, dalid mem, right? That means if you have a kezayis or a revius of dam, of blood. Again, you have to know half of a sechta chulin to figure out what kind of dam is dam. But let's say dam. So let's say he ate chaylev and he ate dam. What's the deal now if they were both bishogim?
Two
chatons. Why? Because that's machalik. Machalik means that if they are two separate averas, each one has its own lav in the Torah, then each one generates its own chiyuv chatos in Hilchos Shgagos. Now, what happens if a person on Shabbos violates two different melachos? I would say, again, this is pedagogy, so you have to go with me on the drama here, right? I would say he brings only one chatos. That's not true, but that's, I'm just telling you why, right? Why would I say that one chatos should be enough? Well, how many averes did he violate? Is it similar to chelev, 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 or is it similar to chelev and dam? I would say it's chelev and chelev. Why is it chelev and chelev? The Torah says, lo tasu kol malacha. There are many different forms, and there are different ways that you can violate lo tasu kol malacha, but at the end of the day, they all come down to one avera called lo tasu kol malacha. So it says chelev, and you ate chelev and chelev and chelev. But then it says dam, and you ate chelev and dam. So the machalik is because there are two separate averas in the Torah, but in the case of malacha, there's only one avera in the Torah. The Torah never gives a separate lav for any one of the malachas, and therefore the Torah doesn't tolerate or doesn't recognize a chiluk. All the malachas are simply one entity or different forms of one avera. So if I did all 39 malachas, I should be chayav only one chatos. So the Torah did the following. It took one avera, one malach, excuse me, out of the 39, took it out of the bag, to tell you that all the malachas are separate entities. And each one is an avera unto itself. That the difference between bishul and notea, zorea, whatever it is not just the technicality, it's a different way of violating the same avera, but that each malach is an iser unto itself. And that's called a machale. Which malacha did the Torah take out of the bag to set it up as a separate entity, a separate lav?
Havara.
And that's called Havara l'chalak yotzes. And the Gemara says, Shmamina, Rava says that we must derive from Rabbi Akiva the conclusion that he maintains Havara l'chalak yotzes. Because if he would hold Havara l'lav yotzes, it would not apply in Yontif, and then the whole castle, like a castle made of sand, it's gonna just collapse in front of your eyes. Nothing that Rabbi Akiva says makes sense unless you assume that Havara is a prohibited malacha on Yontif, which means Havara cannot be possibly l'lav yotzis, because if Havara is l'lav yotzis, it doesn't apply to Yontif. The answer is that Rabbi Akiva must be holding Havara l'chalik yotzis. And that brings us back to this Tosfos on the bottom of Daf Hei Amud Aleph. Kol Malacha Lo Tasu. Oh. Tosfos says, I don't understand Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is telling me that if I would burn chametz on Pesach, I'd be in violation of Kol Malacha Lo Tasu. Well, watch this. Let's say I burn chametz, and now it becomes afer. It becomes ash, right? Ashes. Ashes, and we all fall down, right? Somebody told me that that's a Christian song. I don't know, is it? So maybe we should avoid mentioning the ashes. Okay. So it comes out like this. Ash is something that could be used to, let's say, fry an egg, right? Let's say, for example, you know, eggs are raw eggs can be cooked very quickly. You and I know that. The Gemara even says that you can put an egg on a hot surface, even a ground, and it'll fry. You know, it'll be edible. It becomes edible. It becomes cooked. So let's say I would take this chametz and I would burn it. It becomes ash, and while the ashes are still warm, I would put a raw egg in. I'm just using this as a marshal. I mean, don't catch me on the example I'm giving. But the point is, would I be allowed on Yontif? Let's grant that Tashbisu means, Havara means burning. Let's grant that Havara is Lachalik Yotzis and therefore it's also on Yontif. Let's grant that there's no Dinah Mitoch. I grant you all the premises. But I ask you the following question. Can I burn chametz on Pesach in order to use the ashes to heat up my egg? The answer is it should be mutter. Why? I'll tell you why. Because now it's ochel nefesh. Now the burning of the chametz is in order to create fuel, so to speak, in order to cook my egg. So from the get-go, the entire process of burning the chametz was ochel nefesh. Again, there's a chagadi over here. You don't have to go...
But it's not. So you're not doing it for ochel nefesh.
But you did.
So that's what Tosfos asks. He says the following. He says, "Afal gadichshi sorev v'yasa gecholim." Okay, he's talking about like hard bread. So hard bread could actually become charcoal. So like, you know, make yourself a campfire. And then hanoaso mutters. At that point, if you want to use those hot coals that were chametz and benefit from them, even though you're not allowed to benefit from chametz, but this I can benefit from. The Gemara is going to say about Orla, which is also Asur Manah, that's the produce of the tree on the first 3 years. If I burn them, I can use it as charcoal and benefit from it. It means it's changed its entire substance when it became charcoal. And who had in chametz? It also says it can apply the same logic to chametz. So that when I burn the chametz, I can use it for cooking as a gacheles, and I'm not violating any Yisra'anah. So I think, Abby, maybe the Ri is giving your answer. He says, Svarahu dekra de tashpisu mai v'chol inyin. When the Torah says to burn your chametz, it's talking about every scenario. Afilu eino tzarach legachalos. So he has no intention whatsoever to use the burnt chametz as a coal for his pot of whatever he wants to bake. But Tosis is not happy with that answer, because maybe the Torah says that when you burn chametz on Pesach, this is what you have to do. You know, you have to get gachelos and you have to use it for ochel nefesh. Inami, says Tosfos, kevan de mitchilas havara eino yachal lehenos mimenu. In other words, at the moment that he burns the chametz, right, he lights the fire, it's not yet gecholim, so it's still chametz, and therefore at that moment in time he's not allowed to benefit from it. Afal gav sheyelo hanom mimenu acharkach, even though at the end of this chadgadya he will be able to finally benefit from this, because when it becomes gecholim and it's turned into coals, at that point it's no longer chametz and I can benefit from it. Nevertheless, it's awesome. So let's just understand, and then I'll let you go, two answers to Tosus kasha. Tosus wants to know, how does Rabbi Akiva assume that you cannot burn your chametz on Pesach based on all the premises that the Gemara Rava derives three premises from Rabbi Akiva? Why not consider it as ochel nefesh mamish? Why is it ochel nefesh? Because he can burn the chametz, make it into what? Charcoal, into gecholim. Use the gecholim for cooking his pot, and therefore it becomes a meleches ochel nefesh. That avar itself is ochel nefesh. Tosfos gives two answers. First of all, he says, who says that when the Torah says tashpisu, it's addressing the case, the scenario of someone who wants to use the charcoal. The Torah says, destroy your chametz. It doesn't say destroy your chametz if you're using it for charcoal. And the second answer, which is a lot more profound, is to say that this is not called Meleches Ochel Nefesh, because it's only down the line that you'll be able to use these Gecholim for cooking purposes. But if we go back to the original Havara, at the moment that you burnt the Chametz, at that point, it's not charcoal, it's not Gecholis. And at that point, there's no Ochel Nefesh in sight. You know, it's too far down. You know, sometimes you can see very far, but if something is behind the corner, you can't see it. You know, you have to move forward to see it. When I look at the sreifa of this chametz, I don't see that down the line, after he makes gecholim out of it, he's going to put his pot on it. So when I go back to the original sreifa, what I see is a sreifa that has no connection to ochel nefesh. All right, then, Rabbosai. So what we're up to, just I always like at the end of a shiur to figure out where we're up to. We're up to the two dots on Daf Hey Amid Beis, which is about five lines down. What I may want to do on Sunday is to review the last Gemara that we did about Rabbi Akiva with the last piece in Tosis, because we didn't finish that Tosis. There's also Tosis on Amid Beis, L'chalik Yotzis, and Lo Amrina Mitoch. So we'll try to finish that up on Sunday. Abby, you're not here on Sunday.
I'm not here.
You're on a, where are you, on a plane?
I'm on a plane.
What time does your flight leave?
11:30.
Maybe.
Yeah, I try to push it one more day, you know, because they say mikzah shavua kishavua. So if you're here on Sunday, you know, it's if you, so if I don't see you, Fargo's into Haiti.
Amen.
And what are you flying in, Lal?
United.
That's where they land. Philadelphia.
Newark.
Which company, maybe I'm dating myself, used to fly out of Philly?
US Air.
Is that still
exist? It's not around anymore.
That's not around. What, the whole company doesn't exist?
The whole company doesn't exist.
Oh my gosh. Jeez. It's like restaurants, you know, here in this country.
Every week.
Yeah.